a wonderful joy to be a part of this congregation and to hear the singing and the music that always directs our hearts to the truth of God's Word. And I trust this morning that you have given yourselves to the message and the theme that seems to be coming across in the music and in the scripture readings and in the thoughts. And I trust that as you prepared your hearts this week for gathering at this table, and I say that because I do believe that we need to be preparing our hearts to come to the table of the Lord. And if you're here today and you are struggling with sin in your life, if you're struggling with habits, if you're struggling with just a sense of coldness toward the things of the Lord, then just simply turn to Him, throw yourself upon His mercy. Ask Him to just make Himself so real to you through the Word of God. And as we gather at this table and we receive these elements, we are standing with Christ. For He has stood with us and He stands before our Heavenly Father even now as our advocate. We're going to be looking at the scriptures from 1 John chapter 2. Today, just the first two verses, and then as we gather around the table of the Lord, why are we just going to trust Him to meet our needs, and also as our advocate stands before our Heavenly Father, our advocate, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us, is able to respond to our willingness through His Word, and to bring us to that place where we are surrendering our lives, our hearts, our wills. And you know, we live in a day and age when all we have to do is live a day away from God's Word. And it's almost like the enemy has leeches that attach themselves to our very spiritual lives and kind of suck the life and the beauty and the joy of our relationship to God from us. And although we believe firmly that we do not become cut off from the family of God, we oftentimes will be cut off from fellowship because we're harboring sin. So today, if you are walking in a known sin, or if the Spirit of God directs you in the scripture reading or in any way through the Word as it's preached or shared, would you respond today? Don't come in an unworthy manner to this table. Don't take these elements in which we identify with the very body of our risen Savior. Don't take them in an unworthy manner. Now you say, I can't be unworthy. I can't be anything but unworthy. Oh, yes, because our advocate stands before our Father. And as we sang, our names are written on His hands. He is our advocate. We praise the Lord for that. 1 John chapter 2. I just enjoyed reading into this letter once again this week and going on beyond and just marveling at what God has given to us by His grace and His mercy for everyday life. And I don't know about you, but there are so many things that seem to be on the horizon that could go wrong. And I tell you what, they probably will go wrong. And yet, as we've been learning, as we've been studying in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, that as kingdom citizens, we are to have the life of Christ in the face of anything that comes on, because our joy has nothing to do with our circumstances. Isn't that right? And you can agree, and you can nod, but every day shows whether we truly are willing to live in that. And God desires that we live in that truth day by day. And it's an act of our wills so often that are surrendered to His Lordship. And the Spirit of God living and dwelling in our lives day by day that bring us to victory. And I really look at this scripture today and I see for myself and for those of you who are a part of this family, the fact that God does desire that we live in that daily victory. And oftentimes we hear about daily victory, but what does it mean? It means we fellowship with our Father. And as in the first chapter, in verse 5, John talks to, he was talking to the church at Ephesus. And remember, if you go into Revelation chapter 2, you see that they had grown cold. And here John was the pastor there, and so his heart was yearning that his people would walk in newness of life and in the strength and the fellowship of God. And here in verse 7 it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're walking in connection, in fellowship. And that's what we said as we began these thoughts in chapter 1. And as we go into chapter 2, why we are looking at how that fellowship operates in our lives. And now remember, fellowship is with the Father, but fellowship is with one another. And what I understand of the scripture is that if we're not having fellowship with fellow believers, then we're out of fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And that is misery in the life of the Christian. And we don't want to be there. We don't. I've been there. I don't want to be there. It's so easy for me to step into that place not having fellowship. It's because I willingly step out of the light of His presence. Not out of salvation, for that's a finished work, praise God, but out of that fellowship and that intimacy in my walk with my Heavenly Father. And so we had said that the purpose of this epistle is the abundant life. Our walk is to be a walk of victory, of abundance, in the grace of God, having poured out into our lives His mercy, His grace. Oh, how wonderful it is to be a child of God. And I want to ask you today, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God today? And as we look at this scripture today, would you keep your ears open? And remember, our advocate in heaven stands before Almighty God on our behalf, but His Spirit dwells within the lives of believers and motivates and brings to life the written Word of God. And so, listen and pay attention, and more importantly, respond as the Spirit would woo you to the Lord Jesus, to forgiveness of sins. For remember, we use the word propitiation here. That which satisfies God's just judgment for sin. And yet, it's because our Savior stands before Him that we live. Not perfectly. We don't. But we are not to practice sin. Are you practicing sin today? Are you practicing something you know keeps you from that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? That intimate fellowship with Almighty God? It isn't worth it. It isn't. And there's so much that the world wants to throw at us that would begin to hinder us and take, like I said before, kind of suck the very life out of our spiritual walk, so that we walk not in the light as He is in the light, but we walk in the shadows of what we have been in Jesus Christ, in the shadows which is not abundant life at all. And so today we want to remember, just looking back, talking about that fellowship that we have with God and fellowship with one another. It's vital, folks. You think it's important that you come and be a part of family worship together? It is. It's vital. The Lord tells us that we are not to forsake our gathering together. You know, people have all kinds of excuses for not being a part of the family, but God has designed us that way as His body to function as a body. And your body has many parts, and so the body of Christ has many parts, and you are all an important part. We are important to God. So take heart. Let's take His word the written word, what we hear from the word of God today, and what we see in the written word, and how we respond to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know the abundant life. We have just dug in a little bit. We have no clue. We really don't, as to the glory of the presence of our Savior. We will one day, won't we? But we are supposed to be on a journey which is growing greater, progressively greater in our walk daily with the Lord, in the light, knowing Him. Fellowship with God and His family. Fullness of joy we talked about. Remember that joy we see in Matthew chapter 5 again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, beginning right there. The whole idea of blessed, oftentimes we just simply say, oh, it's happiness. But it's much more than that. It's the depth of joy that only God gives. That's how we know that joy is in our experience of walking with Jesus Christ and knowing His love and His grace and His forgiveness of sins. So the fullness of joy, and that's flowing from that assurance of our salvation. Isn't it wonderful that no matter what the world will throw at us, we stand assured that we have been set free from the bondage which makes the natural man bound to sin? Now, as Christians, we sin as well, but we don't have to. And that's why He has given to us in that first chapter, in the ninth verse, if we confess our sins, He wants to keep us in the light, you see? He's given us everything we need to walk in the abundant life, and in the light that He gives, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we can come and identify with Jesus Christ. Not that we're perfect. You know, the world says, oh, I don't want to come and be a part of that. It's all filled with hypocrites. Yes, we are hypocritical so often. But the truth of God is the light in which we live. And the truth that we find in Christ is what we are to live and reflect and magnify in our very living, walking in the light. That's fellowship with God through His Word and through His family. How important it is that we understand that. Forgiveness of sins, as we said, very important. That's an aspect of this whole idea that we have forgiveness of sins. If you're here today and you're a sinner who is lost and knowing that you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, you may come by faith, by that grace that God gives in you, can surrender your heart to Him and receive eternal life through His grace and His mercy. Jesus is our propitiation. Well, for us who are believers, there is that problem of sin in our lives. And as we said in verses 8 through 10, we see in that first chapter that sin absolutely destroys fellowship in the body of Christ. How important for us to live in the Word and keep our lives tuned up by the Word of God, as the Spirit of God just alerts us. And then if you look at go to chapter 2, verse 28, look at this verse, what it says, the 28th verse. And now, little children, he's talking to his children, he's talking to his family. He says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Isn't that a wonderful motivating verse? You ought to mark it in your Bibles. You ought to put it in your heart and through your ear gate and through your eye gate and allow it to sink down into your hearts. You know, in that scripture we read earlier from 2 Corinthians, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ did be ye reconciled to God. That's our ministry now, you see. God tells us that if we trust him to meet the needs of our families and meet the needs of our basic living, that as we keep our focus on him, that he gives us our purpose in living, and that's to bring glory and honor to our God, to glorify God. And how do we do that? He says we've been called as ambassadors. We represent heaven. We represent eternity. We represent our Heavenly Father. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so we have a changed purpose, don't we? And you remember that when you go to work, that although this is what we consider to be so important and vital, it is, but it is not the purpose for which God redeemed you. He redeemed you to bring you to himself, that you may bring glory to his name and glorify him with your life. So we come here to the first two verses of chapter one, chapter two, and again you notice he says, my little children. He's talking to us as if we're family. There's only one way to be family. It's only one way to come into the presence of Almighty God through our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. To know God is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And people can talk all they want about God, but it isn't the God of the Bible apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember that when you hear the different groups, political groups talking. It's only through our Savior. So, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Our propitiation. And so here we have laid out for us this marvelous provision that God has. And I want us to look at what God provides. The first provision is simply having to do that we sin not. This is the aim or the purpose of the Christian life, that you sin not. Do you understand how important this is for us as believers? Somehow we shove it aside and we go on with our lives and we think the way we've always thought. We think and we do the things we've always done, and we hurt one another. And we set up idols in our lives. And we think the wrong thoughts, and somehow we forget that the aim and the purpose of the Christian life, number one purpose, is that we live not given to sin, but live in the righteousness of Almighty God. That ye sin not. And this is written to the believer now, the child of God, because he's given us the ability, because he has set us free from the bondage of sin in the natural man. Now you say, well, Pastor, I deal with sin every day. Yes, you do. But do you realize that you do not have to yield to temptation? God's word tells us very clearly that with any temptation, he provides a way for escape, so that we stand without excuse before Almighty God. Now, listen to that. The world will hammer against us. And when I say the world, I don't mean what we consider to be God's marvelous creation. I'm talking about the system, the anti-Christ, the whole thought life and philosophy of this fallen world. And too often we marginalize all that God has given to us and provided for us, and we go on with life, and then we come to church Sunday and something that is said or something from the Word of God begins to speak to our hearts, and the Holy Spirit just opens us up and throws light on the sin in our lives. And oftentimes we become so callous we walk away and don't deal with the sin in our lives. But we come to a time like this and God says, you don't come in an unworthy way. It's serious to God. Do you realize that my God would rather take me home if I'm going to continue to walk in sin than allow me to bring disgrace upon the name of his lovely Son? It is serious business. Our purpose, number one, is that we sin not. And the awareness of sin brings us to the Savior. To those of you who do not know Christ, or if you remember, O Christian, what it was in your life that triggered your thinking that you needed to know Jesus. That you actually were hopeless. That you actually could not do a thing with the misery and the sin of your life. You see, it's the mercy of God wherein we see our sinfulness because it brings us to the Savior. We become poor in spirit. We know we're in utter poverty. And for the non-believer today, this may be what God is doing even now. Do you want to be saved? Then acknowledge that you're lost. I want you to understand this, Christians, as we witness with our lives and witness with our lips. Remember, a sinner needs to know that he is a sinner and that he is without hope. So we just can't palaver people and just allow them to just live their lives in our presence without letting them know that this is an affront to the holiness of God. And Jesus lives within you. You belong to another now. And they can too. Do you want to go to heaven? Then realize that you are bound for hell. How important it is that we understand that Christ came not to do something nice for a bunch of nice people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, hopeless, undone, with no hope for the future. And Christ came to save sinners. The first chapter of Colossians has a verse in it, verse 14, I want you to just hear. And Paul is speaking to another church, but he's speaking beyond that church. He's speaking to us as well. Listen to the word, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus stands before the Father. And he has become the mercy seat, and yet you realize he's become the sacrifice as well, and poured out his blood upon the mercy seat to satisfy God the Father. And he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for sinners. And upon receiving the Lord Jesus by faith, in what we read and hear of the Word of God, we are forgiven. Absolutely forgiven. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what should be our goal as believers today as we leave this place? Well, even right now, in the midst of the service. Well, look at verse 1. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is our only advocate. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is righteousness where we are sinfulness, hopeless. So apart from him, we have nothing but hell to look forward to. What a motivation to pray for your family. What a motivation to pray for your dear friends. What a motivation to live righteously before your children or before your grandchildren or before your nieces and nephews, before the neighbor's children, even in your community. Now the word here that we have, this word advocate, is from the Greek, which is parakletos. It's the same word that's translated comforter in John's gospel. Do you realize that? And here John is saying to us in his letter to the church that Christ is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we have a comforter. So what we have is the Lord Jesus before the Father, And he comes before the Father, and he, as we sang, he has wounds to show his death. And he has poured out his precious blood upon the mercy seat of God, which is himself. And he is there to be our advocate, and he is our comforter. We find comfort in his presence, comfort in his word, comfort in his promises. And that's in heaven. But on earth, we have the wonderful privilege of walking in the fullness of Jesus' Spirit. We call him the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. You see, the Holy Spirit is our comforter down here. He's the Spirit of Jesus himself, and Christ is our comforter, our advocate before the throne of God. It's a legal term, advocate. We think of attorneys or those who handle the law. Well, Jesus is the one who stands in that position between God and us, and he is standing up there before the Lord. And you know what that term just simply means? It one who will come to your side to help in everything, every time of need. That's the work of the Comforter. Jesus, our advocate before our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit living within the life of the believer. Very real in the life of the believer. We're equipped, you see, because Jesus is our example, and we see nothing but victory in his life as he rose up from the grave, as he went to Calvary to take our place, and then was buried, and then rose in absolute victory over the grave. The first fruits, the Bible says. In other words, he was the first, so that we may come in like manner, overcoming death in our own lives. That means we're equipped to win, folks. There's another one. The second provision we have is that in verse 1, he says we have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus. He is the advocate for all believers. And so we're talking now about the advocacy of Christ in our everyday living. And what does he say? He says, but if any man sin, you see, John knew the church, and he knew himself, and he knew his own limits. And he knew what he was capable in the flesh. And we're all in the flesh, folks, until we're glorified and in the presence of the Almighty God. And we're dealing every day with that flesh, that fallen flesh. But you see, we have an advocate now. We have a comforter in the midst of our sin-riddled life. And we've already seen that we have ample forgiveness. Anytime we come in forgiveness, recognizing the fact that we have failed God, that we have given in and yielded to sin. He tells us there in 1 John 1:9. And so we must face the reality of imperfection. Look at, if you would, go to Romans 8. Just really quickly, just turn back to Romans chapter 8. And go to the 38th verse, almost to the end. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's the hero, our hero of the faith. As we look at this man who suffered greatly for the cause of Christ and yet knew abounding joy and victory over sin, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You better have that one underlined, folks. That is your blessed hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. God loves us still. We're imperfect, yes. But he loves us still, and he has given to us our advocate, our comforter, that we may walk in the abundant life with victory over sin. He is our advocate. So we know the aim of the Christian life is that we sin not, and then we're introduced to the fact that we have this advocate. Every Christian has the advocate, because we are sinners saved by grace. And that advocate is simply one who comes to our aid when we stumble. I put a poem, I want you to look at that, under the sermon title. It goes like this, and it speaks to me as our advocate who has met us and who is there day by day. Look at that. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well, and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Do you understand that? Do you see what the poet is saying? He's talking about the accuser standing before God. And this is what we're told in Revelation, that the accuser of the believer stands in the presence of God, and he brings accusation to the believer all the time. And yet, you know what? We have an advocate. It's like a legal system, isn't it? But we have an advocate who stands before the throne of God. And God looks upon the accusation and listens to the accusation against me. And yet my Jesus, my Lord, stands and offers up his wounds and his blood. And the Father says, there are none. There are none. Jehovah findeth none. The devil may roar, and he may bring all kinds of accusations against the child of God. And we know those accusations because we live with them. But according to his word, if we've dealt with it, 1:9 here, then because of our advocate and because of his mercy upon us, Jehovah findeth none. Praise God. Though the restless foe accuses, sins recounting like a flood, every charge our God refuses, Christ has answered with his blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes every stain. Oh, God has provided for us through our wonderful advocate. I want you to see another verse. It's Hebrews 7:25. Jesus is entered. Do you wonder if what Jesus is doing? You know what he's doing? He's in heaven. He's in the presence of God. And this is his ministry. Look at Hebrews 7:25, just the first part of it. Wherefore he, that's Jesus Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Coming to God through Jesus Christ alone, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession, that's advocacy on our behalf, for them who choose to come to God by him. Have you come to God through Jesus Christ? He, Jesus, is the advocate for all Christians. And he's ever interceding on behalf of his own. Isn't that a marvelous message of joy, of hope, of light in the darkness of our world? So we have an advocate here on the earth. Who is it? It's our comforter, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit at work in the life of the church, in the work, in the heart and life of each believer individually, and then corporately as we meet in a time like this and as we go out into the world carrying the gospel messages as ambassadors for Christ. An advocate. He's an advocate. Now, we can go to John's Gospel, chapters 14 and 16, and see this very clearly. It's all about the Comforter, the work of the Comforter. It's all about the Lord Jesus himself. Remember Jesus in speaking about home going to heaven? He says, don't worry, folks. He's talking to his disciples. I'm going to prepare a place so that where I go, you may come as well. I am truth. I am life. And I'm the only way to the Father. Do you know what our culture will say? Oh, you're so narrow. But the Word of God is truth. And unless we know the truth through Jesus Christ our Lord, we will never be in the presence of Almighty God. How important is that? And remember, we have this advocate. According to Revelation 12, verse 10, because day and night your enemy, the devil, yes, I believe in a personal devil, folks, and I believe in the minions, the millions of the horde of evil demons that want to destroy your fellowship with God and destroy your testimony. And yet we have the advocate, our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands before the throne of God and has our names written in his hands. He's our advocate. There's one more provision, and we've talked about it already, and it's simply the atonement. Look at verse 7, what it says back in chapter 1. Sorry, I got out of verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How wonderful that is. Jesus has become the propitiation for our sins. He's our atonement. And so we are to walk with him and in his strength, because we don't have any of our own. So that's why we learn that we must feed upon his word. Do it every day. Let it stamp your mind and your heart, so that when the enemy comes in, and he comes in like a flood, but Jesus Christ raises that wonderful standard of truth through his spirit, through the word of God. Get into the word. Jesus is our propitiation for sins, our sins. He paid for our sins with his own blood. Our mercy seat. And you see, Christ has reconciled us to our Heavenly Father. We read it this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. It's there. It's there. In fact, let's look at it. I want us to look at it again. It says in the first thing, we are a new creature in Christ. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, God doesn't slam us with sin because of the blood of Christ, but he calls us to live in that ministry of reconciliation for others around us. He wants us to love lost people. He wants us to love saved people. Our lives are to be living out the glory of Christ, his mercy and his grace. And it's a finished work that we see on Calvary's cross. It's that finished work of reconciliation there on Calvary's cross. And we look to it now as we look at these elements, the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. He lay down willingly for you and for me. And so we handle them. We partake of them. Just symbols, folks. It's bread and it's grape juice. It's nothing special. except in the symbolism of who it represents. Life through the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful advocate. He finished his work of reconciliation on the cross, the word says. But that's finished. But his work as our advocate continues on and on. We're to invite others to live this abundant life if we really believe it. And the call for a consistent Christian life is our challenge today. You see, remember the first verse says that ye sin not. That ye sin not. That should be our goal, our desire. And he's given us every provision for that. And it comes in consistent living in his presence and acknowledging his word and in obedience to the gospel. We do that in view of his atonement, his pouring out his lifeblood. We do it in view of his continuing work of advocacy on our behalf as weaklings. He makes us strong. So I want you to reaffirm your faith today as you receive these elements in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our propitiation. And I want us to reaffirm our commitment to the very purpose of the Christian life, daily victory over sin. Is that your desire? I hope it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life you give us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Christ has become our life, in whom we have redemption through his blood. As Paul says, oh God, we pray that we would be humbled as we come and partake of these symbols of what you have done in reality through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.